Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of Industry Relations with Rob Hahn and Greg Robertson. I am Rob, and I believe we have Greg on the other line.
How's it going?
It's going great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, it's, what day is today? This is Wednesday?
Wednesday the 8th.
Wednesday. So this is just after Super Bowl Sunday, right?
Yes. In my city represented, yo. Houston.
Your city represented? Absolutely. Yeah. I guess they represented by stealing things out of locker rooms. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know nothing about that. All I know is all the reviews, all the pundits are like, this is, you know, one of the best, you know, run, best produced Super Bowls. And speaking of, like, dude, that game was insane.
Oh my God. It was fantastic. I mean, You just got to give it up for those guys. I mean, it's just, you know, the memes are crazy. It's like, okay, you got to score, three touchdowns, yeah. Two with extra points. Brady, hold my beer.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that one. I saw a video that I posted on my Facebook where some Atlanta fan immediately after was like, you got to believe in God. Because Tom Brady is clearly Satan.
Haters gonna hate.
And, you know, the thing is this, right? Like, I'm a former Jets fan, right? So I can never like the Patriots. I gotta hate on the Patriots. It's just what you do when you're, you know, a former Jets fan. But, you know, Tom Brady, good for him. I mean, he's the greatest of all time. Belichick's probably the greatest of all time. You know, this Patriots team, you know, they're dominant. I get it. You know, I can hate them. Because of their dominance. And speaking of being hated for your dominance, I believe that flows us into our topic.
Yeah, it does. Well, Zillow, you know, it's the company everybody loves and some people love to hate, right? So they released their earnings and kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I think for the quarter, they were up over last year, but like $227 million for the quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Which was up 34% year over year.
Oh, yeah.
And I think their stock is trading up 120% than it was the last year.
Yep.
And they also announced kind of, I don't know if this was a head fake or not for some of the other stuff, because they did lose some money after showing a profit in the previous quarter.
Right.
They look like they're going to do $1 billion in revenue.
Yes, they are. It looks that way.
I mean, that's just crazy.
Yep. And you know, it's funny is, like, I think I saw the report at Inman first, and the Inman headline is like, Zillow post $220 million loss, something like that, right? And I'm like, that can't be your headline. I mean, especially when, you know, the primary reason why they post such a big loss because they paid off $130 million lawsuit settlement.
Yeah.
You know, It's like, okay, you get rid of that and it's looking pretty healthy. I mean, no, you're right. They're killing it.
You know, a lot of people want to give them shit about not being profitable, but I mean, their whole thing is, I guess almost like Amazon. I mean, they look at this whole thing now as an investment period. Invest, invest. I mean, they got enough money to do that. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, no,
then they continue to invest.
They've been talking about it for a while, right? It's, you know, they're just trying to grab market share and grow their brand. And, you know, it's hard to say that they're failing. I mean,
yeah, that kind of segues into a blog post that you wrote.
Ah, yes.
And that was, and I think that if I'm looking at it now, it's already got 73 comments in the title. As in Rob Hobbs style, does fiduciary duty require putting listings on Zillow, right? So You could be a very good copywriter. I should call you on some subject lines that I need some help on for opening up our emails at WNR Studios, man.
Anytime. That was a really interesting post. You know, for people who may not know, you know, I obviously write a blog at Notorious Rob. Just thought, like, you know what? It's been a while since we really talked about Zillow. So let's just kind of get into it. And the responses have been really interesting, I have to say. And I felt like for our purposes, you know, for industry relations, I do think it'd be worth just sort of talking about. Now, what's interesting is, of course, people are like, you're a Zillow shill. Like, no, I'm just actually sort of interested because, you know, I'm a lawyer by training. These types of issues are always fascinating and it sort of fits in with kind of my view and my theory of the MLS anyway. So you read it. Like, what'd you take away from it?
A lot of it, I think you make a good premise there, right? I think, you know, the flaw that I could maybe see is, like, you know, back in the day, was it your fiduciary responsibility to advertise in the newspaper? I mean, you could kind of take that argument to a lot of different places at different periods of
sure,
you know, some media dominance, right?
Sure.
So there's that. overall, I think you just basically stirred up the nut jobs out there too.
Actually, my comments were really, really civil, I have to say. You know, I've didn't have, maybe it's because I threatened to ban them. You know, they got all personal and stuff. No, it was really good comments. You know what? Maybe I should just summarize briefly kind of the argument, right?
Perfect.
So we could sort of talk about it. So the argument essentially goes like this. It's clear, you know, the laws of all 50 states, it makes a real estate agent a fiduciary. You know, unless you're, you know, acting as a quote transaction broker. And I think that's allowed in a few states. I know Florida allows that. But, you know, in most states, you know, when you are working with a seller, you're working with a buyer, you are a fiduciary, which means you have to put the client's interest above your own. Furthermore, you've got the code of ethics where it makes it real clear, right? Article one, you know, like you've got to put, you know, your client's interest above your own interest, right? And act in the best interest of the client at all times. Fine. This issue came up a few years ago with pocket listings and with coming soon, you know, the off MLS listings. Remember, like, right, when that thing was going on, there was a whole lot of hand-wringing and warnings and, you know, different MLSs passing policies and rules, all premised around the idea that if you fail to put the listing into the MLS, even on a temporary basis as a quote coming soon, and you do not inform your client adequately, then you are guilty of breaching your fiduciary duty. And the reason why you're breaching a fiduciary duty is because you're not providing the widest maximum exposure to your seller's house.
I think there's also some things there about MLS policy too. If you belong to the MLS, I mean, the whole cooperation and compensation. But I mean, yes, that was one of the arguments.
Right. The primary argument is like, look, maximum exposure of your seller client's house is always better. It's always in the best interest of that client, unless the client has other interests that are better served by not giving it maximum exposure.
Right. And
the examples that they usually provide is like high-end luxury, right? So, you know, if you're a Hollywood celebrity or you're a business executive, maybe you don't want people to know that you're putting your house on the market.
Yeah, privacy, whatnot.
Correct. Right. So if you have those types of interests, then it's acceptable for the realtor following your directives to say, you know what, we're not going to put this in the MLS, right? I'll make some private phone calls, people I know. That's kind of how the logic went. That the default is you have to provide maximum exposure to your client's property unless that client has some other needs or other interests that can be served by not providing maximum exposure. So my thought was, okay, that's cool. And here we are in 2017. And as you just pointed out, Zillow is completely dominant. You know, consumer behavior has completely changed, right? So why wouldn't that apply to Zillow? And that was sort of my question, right? And my argument, I suppose, that I wanted discussed, and believe me, it did get discussed, is if you're not providing maximum exposure, then you've got to brief the client just the way you would if you're not going to put it on the MLS, right? The requirements of doing a pocket listing right now in most the model legal advice, if you're from NAR, a lot of MLSs, what they require is that you sit down with the client and explain the pros and cons. I said, look, here are the benefits of putting it in the MLS. If you don't put it in the MLS to protect your privacy, here's what you lose. And then have the client sign off on it. Like literally fill out a written form that says, yes, I understand that, you know, I'm leaving money on the table or I'm, you know, not getting right. maximum exposure, but I want you to do it because privacy is more important. Something along those lines. My thinking is, well, why wouldn't that apply? If you're going to not put your client's listing on Zillow, then shouldn't you have to sit down, explain to the client what the benefits, the pros and cons are, and get the client to sign off on it, right, before you choose not to put it up? That was the sort of the structure of the argument. The response in the comments have been really, really good. And I think part of it is kind of what you mentioned, right? You know, does media dominance mean you have to do that? It's a good question. I mean, I don't know the answer. I guess the only thing I would say about that is, it's sort of the industry practice, I think, would make more sense. In other words, if like 70-80% of brokers put ads in the newspaper and you don't, I almost feel like you're going to be answerable.
Right.
So I think that's kind of the way I look at it. Like, what is the general industry practice? And are you following it or are you departing from it?
Right. It goes back to a little bit what we talked about in a previous episode of like, if you're not effective selling property, you're not going to be selling real estate for that long.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're not going to get the opportunity to list or not list your properties anywhere
right.
because you'll be out of business. Right. So I think over time, this is, you know, it's going to have some Darwinian kind of a thing to it. If they've got their own pool of buyers and that's why you've hired this realtor and they do it their own way and they are effective at selling your houses for top dollar by not putting them on Zillow or anything else,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to survive. But if you don't have those pool of buyers or anything other tricks up your sleeve, you're not going to survive, right?
Sure.
So I don't know if it necessarily makes it a fiduciary responsibility because of that. And I think I've seen other people talk about, well, yes, they are very dominant in getting consumer traffic. And I think there was actually a guy who spoke at Inman Connect in New York that I saw recently, or a video replay, Rand Fiskin from Moz,
mm-hmm.
talking about how dominant, you know, he's never seen in an industry where, you know, there's been four portals or three portals that have dominated the search results,
right.
organic search results right. of real estate, right? And that's, you know, you're talking about Zillow, of course, Trulia, and I think, you know, Realtor and maybe Homes.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But still, there was still like a long tail of, you know, they have a bit of the traffic, but it's still the overall traffic of the internet is still by far still out there. It's not, they are dominant in that space, but still you can find listings everywhere, right?
With sure.
broker websites, agent websites, and everything else. So I don't,
sure.
I mean, they're killing it, obviously, but I don't think it's such a defaulto standard. For that.
And you know what I think is, that's sort of the open question, right? So there are a couple of questions, you know, that are here. One is, you know, can you really prove at trial that, you know, your failure to put the listing on Zillow resulted in a loss for the seller? In other words, the way I kind of imagine this is,
right.
it's not even about the Darwinian stuff. It's about some seller suing you after the fact. Okay. So you've gone, you've sold the seller's house. And let's even say that you sold it for asking price, right? So I listed at 500, I got 500, everyone should be happy. Except that, you know, our society being what it is, you know, 6 months after, the guy notices his neighbor sold his house for 600,000. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And then brings a lawsuit saying, you know, you screwed me because you didn't advertise on Zillow, right? So that's, to me, like, that's the more interesting context, because now- yeah. The listing agent has to defend himself and say, yo, I did, you know, I was effective, right? You didn't suffer any loss. And I think that's the context in which everything you just mentioned, where sure, Zillow might have 140 million unique visitors, but there's a huge long tail. And I did advertise your property in the MLS and put on IDX and all these other things. And ultimately, I got you what you were asking, right? I mean, that has to be the argument. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be one lawsuit that Zillow would love to have come out there, right?
I'm sure.
The publicity, you know, would be fantastic for him, right?
You know, maybe it's because I'm a lawyer, right? By training. You know, a lot of times I'd love to see court cases just so that we have answers. Like right now, we don't really know. You know, so we're sort of operating in the dark. But yeah, I mean, that's the issue. What's interesting about it though is, and this is maybe a subtle point, and one of the commenters, you know, on my post brought this up, right? And it's something that I've been talking about for a while, which is, that the MLS really is an advertising vehicle.
Agent to agent, totally. I
Correct.
Mean, that's the best out there.
Correct. So to say that the MLS is something other than that, you know, I feel like we're missing something really fundamental. If the MLS were not the most effective advertising vehicle, then it loses a lot of its power. And I think that's one of the things that we're struggling through right now, you know, as an industry, is the fact that technology and the internet has kind of changed the value proposition of the MLS from an advertising standpoint. The cooperative compensation obviously is still a value that's there, but from an advertising standpoint, like if you just need to let the world know that this house is for sale, I don't know if the MLS is still the most cost-effective, most powerful vehicle for doing that.
Well, you know, going back to your thing about pocket listings, I remember seeing a study that said, even with pocket listings, it showed that listings that were put on the MLS sold for higher.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So, and let's talk about really what's, I think, the underlying kind of problem here that most people have. And it's just ridiculous because all the agents out there, not all the agents, a lot of agents out there still look at Zillow as being a threat to them, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And there couldn't be anything more farther from the truth. But that old sentiment still rings in there. Maybe in the beginning, they thought they were going to be that. But Zillow, 1,020,000% rely on agents for their existence.
Right.
They want the model to say the same. They support the MLS. They want this model to say the same.
Right.
Other entrants, it's another issue, right?
Right.
But to keep going down this kind of like hackneyed way of looking at things as far as those guys are like, you know, the enemy, or they're going to, one day they're going to turn into a brokerage, it's just nonsense. Mm-hmm. So I think the bigger issue is not like, is the MLS value proposition changing? It's just, you know, these old things still kind of stick out there. I mean, you want to talk about the greatest of all time? These guys are the greatest vendor of all time. I've been doing this for 20. I mean, seriously, I've been doing this for 25 years.
Sure.
I thought of myself as being, one of the best people of, marketing and selling technology products to agents, right?
Right.
You know, I've never done $227 million in my lifetime, much as a freaking quarter of selling to agents. I mean, who knew all you had to do was like focus on, 70,000 of them and charge them up the yin yang for it.
Right,
I mean, they figured it out, right? It's just all this stuff of like, they being the enemy, or they're doing, they're out to get everybody. I mean, they're just a vendor, man. Get over it. You can either use them or not use them.
Right.
Right. And you know what? They're a particularly effective vendor as far as what their main value proposition is, getting exposure, to your listings, to an audience out there. So again, I think all this other stuff, the narrative is just still is out there. And it's just frustrating. I think I know other vendors feel this way. Other MLSs feel this way. It's just like,
sure,
there's some guy on the board of directors who's going to say, well, the biggest mistake we did was putting our listings on there. It's like, well, good Lord, dude. I mean,
we've both been in the industry the last 10 years. So we know, the whole syndication, that battle and that kerfuffle and that nonsense.
Take a shot.
But you know what's sort of what I think is the most interesting thing about that whole line of reasoning is, what is the logical end game of that? In other words, this, typically the complaint goes something like this. I give you, you get my listings for free, and then you make money off the back of my listings, right? The work that I've done. I could totally see why that would be annoying, right? Like, I mean, I don't know personally because I've never done it, but, talk to all my friends, and it's very difficult to get a listing. You got to put in a lot of work, invest a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy, do your farming, do your sphere calling, do whatever it is. And you finally get a listing, and then here comes Zillow putting, other agents, faces on your listing, right? And you feel like, what the hell? Okay. And I get that.
I understand why. I mean, it's also a lot of work to get exposure and people to care about your listing too, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
But, but again, that started back with Homestore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That model's been played out by, their own partners in a way, as far as the real estate industry is concerned. So
but here's the thing.
I don't
thing,
know if you get the genie back in the bottle there.
Well, I mean, clearly not, but here's what I'm saying is the really interesting aspect of it is, so is the idea that buyer leads off of your listing belong to you, right? In other words, for that to be a complaint, that has to be the sentiment, right?
Right. And they've done that, though. I think recently the listing agent is featured on every listing, right? There are others on there, but they're prominent there.
But again, even if they're prominent, even if all that, the complaint, the main core complaint is, you're putting other agents on my listing so that I don't get the phone call, somebody else does. At the heart of it, that is the complaint.
Well, they can have their own website and put their name, their face bigger than the listing if they want to, right? What's stopping them from doing that?
Well, of course. And that obviously raises the whole IDX issue. But here's kind of, for our audience, because we think that the audience of this podcast is probably a little bit more sophisticated than the average, realtor out there.
And better looking.
And healthier, more glamorous. But, what I'm saying is, essentially, if you take that statement to its logical conclusion, what it says to me is the buyer agency needs to die.
Okay, now we're going to get all Rob Hahn here now, right? Everybody. Just everybody lower the lights down wherever you're at.
But think about it.
If
the idea is that I go and I get the listing, right? All the buyer leads off of my listing belong to me, right? Then what's the point of buyer agency? Except for, I guess, teams. In other words, I can give the buyer lead to somebody on my team, right, that I'm on a 50-50 split with, but I'm not good with some random agent somewhere else out there, right, who sees it in the MLS and then can bring me a buyer. Like, the logical endpoint of that entire sort of protest is the buyer agency is useless, right?
Were you hugged as a child? I mean, you like, you're everything at the end, if you carry this out to your logical conclusion, somebody dies, right? Something, some agency gets killed, a law is passed, the government steps in. I think I'm buying, you know, a couple houses. I mean, I found a lot of value having a realtor represent me on the buy side. Absolutely.
Sure.
I don't agree with that.
No, well, hold on a second. I mean, let's not red herring this thing. I'm not saying that, you know, buyer representation ceases. When I say buyer agency, I mean cooperation ceases, right? In other words, you want a buyer, you want a realtor to represent you, pay them, right? Why does a seller got to pay? Why does a listing agent, I've done all the work, I've gotten the listing, why do I have to pay you?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you could have your own representation, but why am I cooperating and sharing commissions when the ultimate sort of, you know, gut feeling that lays behind this I hate Zillow movement is it's my listing, therefore all of the buyer leads should come to me. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we're not addressing that issue enough, right?
So are these brokerages being forced to put them on lists on Zillow?
I mean, I think that's one of the dominance leads to hate issue. You know, I suspect that nobody wants to put their stuff on Zillow, right? They feel like they have to, yeah. You know?
I mean, is that any different from, let's say, you know, I guess I would have to go back 25 years ago. It was like nobody wants to put their listings in the newspaper, but they have to.
But they have to. I mean, it's cost of doing business, right?
I mean, you got to. What's the difference? I mean,
in my mind, there's no difference, you know, but obviously for, you know, a huge chunk of the industry, there is. And I guess, again, what I find interesting is kind of that thing beneath the surface, right? Like, what's causing this? I mean, a big part of what's causing it to me is it's not the agents, I don't think, as much as the brokers, which has to do with just how the brokerage industry is undergoing severe challenges and things right now. Now, that's probably a future podcast or seven. We may not get to it now, but I don't know that it's agents as much as brokers because of the issues in the brokerage side.
Right.
Industry.
So I'll take a little bit of different take. So maybe, and this, I could be like affected by, you know, my own experience with my company, right? And and the frustration I hear from agents are really not that like you're monetizing my listing, right? Mm-hmm. It's more of like, number one, and I imagine this happens to doctors or any professional, right? Is that with having all the listings online, and let's say some of the features there, let's take the Zestimate, for instance.
Sure.
You know, we make a CMA program called Cloud CMA, if you haven't heard of it, cloudcma.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the big complaints, and I do this in presentation, I ask the crowd, is like, what is the first thing that your seller says at a listing presentation? And it's always this kind of like, well, Zillow says my house is worth this much, right?
Right.
And they absolutely hate that, right?
Right.
Because it's like, okay, now, you know, the consumer feels empowered because this algorithm told them, and now the realtor has to claw their way back to get to a point where when Zillow wasn't out there making this information out there, they didn't have to deal with that. And it's just, it's frustrating for them to have to deal with, right?
Sure.
So there's that frustration. And then there's the other frustration of like, well, hell, by the time they talk to their buyer, the buyer has done, you know, way more research than the right. realtor has done, right?
Right?
Because they have all this access, and you know what else are they going to do at work but, you know, browse properties on the internet, right?
Right.
Again, it's like it's almost like they almost feel unprepared because this person is so hyper focused on their search. It again lessens their value to what they're going to bring to the table, or it makes them feel like that. So the angst that I hear from agents aren't really, you know, the monetization kind of thing, but these types of things, as I'm sure a doctor, not to compare real estate agents with doctors, but, you know, my knee's hurting and it's on the left-hand side. I go up on the internet, and I look over there and I research all I can. And when I go to the orthopedic guy, it's like, I says, well, I think it's a plantar fasciitis meningitis.
Right.
Right. And he's like, I could just see the face he puts on mm-hmm. of patience. And I don't mean patient as a he's a doctor, I'm a patient.
He's humoring you.
He's just kind of go, Christ, the internet.
Right.
Right. WebMD.
Right.
You know, fuck those guys, right? Right. They're just you've got to put up with that. That's the angst I feel most agents have. I'm not sure maybe you're right. Maybe on the brokerage side, maybe that's the frustration is that monetization because they were monetizing that.
Right.
But on the agent side, I see it mostly on those types of issues I just talked about.
And I don't disagree. And, you know, obviously we could talk about that at length. And, you know, it'd be fun to do a future episode where we bring some agents on and, you know, talk about the frustration. Yeah. But I'll say this, relating it back to kind of my post and the original topic, which is that your frustrations and your fears and, you know, feeling like that whole fuck the internet, you know, thing, none of that is in the least bit relevant to fiduciary duty. And I think that's the piece that, you know, some of the commenters I disagreed with, they're not quite understanding. That it doesn't actually much matter how much you hate Zillow or how much you hate whoever or how difficult it make your life or how the zest made, what it doesn't matter when it comes to fiduciary duty, right? That as a fiduciary, you have a responsibility to do what's in the client's best interest, period, end of story. That's the piece where, you know, it's worth actually having some real industry discussion around it. Like, what is the difference between off MLS and non-Zillow? Like, what's the difference? And if it is simply that, I don't know, that Zillow doesn't own the internet, right? They're not there yet. You know, yeah, they're the number one, they're the biggest, but they're not, you know, they're not bigger than the long tail put together. Fine, then let that be the issue. Let that be the argument. But from a fiduciary duty standpoint, I mean, the biggest takeaway, biggest understanding that I took away from my post, so maybe I'll lay it out here, is in 2017, I think it's just smart that if you're not going to put a listing on Zillow for whatever reason, you better have a conversation with a seller and make sure that they're okay with that, right? So that it doesn't come and bite you in the ass later. And I wouldn't take the attitude of, oh, well, there's no way, you know, I'll win that lawsuit. It's like, nah, man, like spending money on lawyers, defending yourself, that's not really worth it. You know, so right. Maybe in 2017, until we have some better guidance from the courts or from NAR legal or whoever else, I think the best practice would be just make sure you have a conversation with a seller, you know, and make sure they're comfortable with that. Oh yeah, don't put my stuff on Zillow. Right? I don't want that Zestimate next to my house. You know, like have that conversation, I think is the big takeaway.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, as I said, that genie back in the bottle, they have done a great job. And again, just they're a vendor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can use them for other things like advertising or not. Yeah. Right. It's up to you.
Yeah.
You know, as far as if you think there's a fair trade between exposure versus them getting to use your listing for that exposure, but, you know, sell advertising. I mean, that's your choice. But I think you're right, Rob. I mean, I think there has to be some conversation. I mean, you could spread that out to other things like here's my marketing plan. I'm going to market in the newspaper because I've found that's effective. I'm not going to market on Zillow because of XYZ, or I am going to market on Zillow, right? So, I mean, I think any good agent is going to have those types of conversations anyway.
Right, right.
And, you know, it shouldn't be a problem.
And I think that was the big takeaway. I mean, look, I think we have some future, you know, topics we could explore because I love what you said about they're just a big vendor, right? You know, it's something that
they're the best. Who makes more money off of agents more than, you know, I guess maybe the mortgage industry, but I mean, Jimmy Christmas. Yeah.
Because, you know, what I've been thinking about recently is like the Zillow thing's been done. You know, you don't see a whole lot of VCs putting money into a portal anymore. You see them putting money into some really scary shit coming down the pike. And something I wonder about a lot is if that happens, does Zillow suddenly become like the real estate agent and broker's best friend? Because they're the only ones with the kind of money to defend them against, you know, real scary guys like a Realy or...
Oh, I absolutely think so. I mean, I think Open Door is kind of taking a hybrid approach where they'll still work with, with agents, but it is in Zillow's best interest that they keep things status quo. That's why they've got so many, I mean, quote unquote, industry relations guys.
Wouldn't that be the funniest thing, though? Like in 2-3 years' time, we're talking about this, we're going to be like, Zillow, the great defender of the broker and agent.
I think we're there, man. I think we're there. I mean, They don't want upstream. They don't want any sort of disruption happening in the case. They want things the way they are. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been great. So, I mean, there's, like you said, there's a lot of 1,000 offshoots, but
yeah.
Congratulations on their success. I mean, a billion coming up. I mean, that's fantastic as well. And, you know, we'll see what the future holds.
We'll see.
All right. Well, thanks everybody. Yep. You too, man. And thanks everybody else for listening to another episode of Industry Relations.
Take care, everybody.